You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast, and I hope you're having a good night. I hope you had a good day, and thank you so much for joining us. We hopefully have a great show lined up for you. At least that's always the intent. I can't say it always works out that way, but I'm joined tonight by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard. Welcome, sir.
That'd be me. Thank you, sir. Nice to be here.
Well, good, because you're stuck for...
I'm stuck.
You're stuck for at least an hour, and then some. Because I'm trying to fill your dance card, of course. So.
Don't dance.
But tonight we're going to get into some ghosts, ladies and gentlemen. And Don and I have been doing this for quite a while now, and we've covered a whole bunch of different topics in the ghostly realm. And, from poltergeist to demons to banshees to the old hag to you name it, we've covered it. But I think it's probably one of the most relatable of all the paranormal phenomena, in that I think most people either have directly or know somebody that has experienced some form of haunting event. Right. Would you agree with that, Don?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Except me.
Except you. But you and your ghost TV, but no, never mind.
It's a piece of technology.
Yeah. Don's TV turns itself on at will and does all kinds of funky things. But it's just a piece of technology.
That's right.
Which I, just for the record, I think ghosts and other things have no problem
interacting
with those because, and my philosophy behind this, ladies and gentlemen, and this is just a theory, but these are energetic beings. They're completely physically challenged. I think that's funny. Sorry. But they don't have a body. So they exist energetically. And, as such, they may not have much trouble interacting with energetic circuits, which of course are influenced by electricity. But, is it possible that they can activate that circuitry just with their energy? I don't know. But the funny thing is the phenomena keeps coming up all the time. That spirits are screwing with TV sets. They're screwing with radios. Your microphone regularly. the studio connections every once in a while. Because I truly believe this is the only paranormal show in existence that is actually haunted. But and I say that tongue-in-cheek, but honest to God, there's some weird stuff that happens around here that we're not quite sure what to make of it. But, they screw with lights. They screw with cars, everything that runs on electricity definitely seems to be susceptible to spiritual influence. And, I think that would imply then that, it's probably the easiest thing that we use regularly that they can interact with pretty directly. Right. And it probably doesn't cost a lot as far as energy. Now, Don, you've heard about how spirits, have... you know, to do things like manifesting and stuff takes an extraordinary amount of energy, right?
Yeah.
You're familiar with that.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of electronic devices, it's not that hard. You know, and again, it's just a theory, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean to try to reshape paranormal thought in the process of doing a podcast, but I think it's worth, I think your mic died. Yeah, it did. See, my point is proven, ladies and gentlemen. Don's mic just went down, which punctuates my point exactly. Let me mute you. Sorry. There you go. You just plug your or unmute yourself when you think you got it.
All right.
At least to test it. I don't know. We'll find out, ladies and gentlemen.
Check, check.
There you are. You are back, and we are still live here. But, you know, the influence of the electronic devices seems to be very prevalent in hauntings and in ghostly expression. Now, one thing that I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight is the dynamics of a haunting. A lot of people think, or people are widely consider that what was the history? If you have a haunting, what was the history of the location? You know, they look at, did someone die in the house? Was there ever a horrible event in the house that might have caused a haunting? Was there, you know, something maybe to do with the land or whatever? And people seem to really lock onto that idea that you need a tragedy to have a haunting.
Right. There has to be.
Your mic died again.
Oh, my goodness.
That is so crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Paranormal Portal. As I was saying, and as if to punctuate my point, apparently they're going to prove it tonight. Did you? You already did mute it. Oh,
yes,
wow. Nice job.
I got this.
You get, yeah, it's almost like he's a practiced hand at this.
All right. No, I'm still not back. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, when you turn it on. That,
okay,
that,
yeah, turn it on.
There is a power button. But no, I think that hauntings don't necessarily have to follow that formula. What are your thoughts on those, Don?
Well, you know, we don't have the ghost box on right now either.
Or no,
the ghost
we don't. That's
on,
true.
And that would just like punctuate everything. But I think you're right. You know, I mean, there's a good possibility that if they are beings of energetic mystery, then yeah, I mean, they can easily interact with electronics and phones too, cell phones, you know, you get those, even old phones, you know, rotary phones and landlines, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, then you get those stories of those ghostly callers,
yeah,
you know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I am open to the idea that they can do these things. Absolutely. And, you know, and it makes sense. It makes sense that, you know, somebody can, or a spirit or some kind of energy being can interact with these things, because we have things that happen every day. Like you're walking down the street and a light will go out, you know, a street light will go out.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that's
or,
a good point.
You know, you walk into a room or you're watching, your battery goes dead, you know, mm-hmm. for no reason, brand new battery. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, then I have to question the idea of, is it you? Is it you, you know, somehow interacting your energy with these things as well. So, you know, there are a few ideas that can be thrown around, but if it is true, I think it can happen, sure.
Yeah, and I think it does too. You know, it seems to come up so regularly and so often, and it's a phenomenon that I've experienced myself with electronic things. And clearly, I mean, as we were just joking about the, you know, the studio, in a manner of speaking, I'm pretty sure they're probably sitting here like an audience going, watch this. I think they do. I think they just sit back and watch and just see. And now the reason that I say that, ladies and gentlemen, is I believe that, you know, when you talk about something regularly,
yeah,
there's, you know, there's an old ancient term, but it's, you know, one we're all still familiar with, but it was an occult philosophy for a long time called magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially when you obsess with thought over any one thing, you are magnetizing yourself to that thing. Well, here on the channel, on the show, we magnetize ourselves to the paranormal. And quite honestly, it was a phenomenon that I'm not surprised to see perhaps manifest from time to time, because we do talk about this stuff all the time.
Right.
You know, we discuss concepts, we discuss possibilities, and it makes for, you know, really interesting shows and all, but sometimes it's just really bizarre stuff, you know?
Sometimes it's hair raising.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but there doesn't always have to be a tragedy attached with these kind of things either.
Right.
There's a few things I want to go over tonight on the podcast, and one of which is what can cause a haunting. So there's a lot of different things that can cause a haunting. And of course, the other things we mentioned would certainly qualify for that. So obviously, the old tales of, well, she met her end there, you know, he killed her, or, you know, something like that. Some horrible tragedy happens.
The Tallahassee Bridge.
Right. And so you've got these magnificently supercharged events. And I don't mean magnificent in a very positive way. I mean that they are just these profound events that happen. And of course, you know, if a person's life ends abruptly and unexpectedly, there's going to be the old, quote, unfinished business going on. And that's, you know, that certainly could be something to cause a haunting, because for whatever reason, they feel like something was stolen from them. And so they don't want to go on to eternity. They're not ready to close this page yet without it. And I believe in a lot of those cases, it's just they want to tell their story. Mm-hmm. They want someone to know what happened to them.
Right.
And, you know, and so those things come up, and it's sometimes it's just residual. Before on the podcast, we've talked about residual versus intelligent haunts.
Right.
But sometimes it's, you know, it's very intentional and intelligent. And when the person is still there, you know, and that's horribly tragic, and it's a very, very sad thing. You know, I've got to get back to that at some point during the show tonight, because it's something I really wonder about. And I mentioned it on the radio show before, but and I'm sure you'll remember, Don, once I bring it up, but it's still a question in my mind about it. But another way that hauntings can happen is in the case of you bring something home with you.
Right.
Now, I'm not of course, physical objects will come next, but I'm talking about you went somewhere that may be a haunted place. And this happens a lot to paranormal investigators. They're investigating places, and suddenly they go home and, you know, the sink turns on all of a sudden, and cupboards are opening, and weird shadows are moving around. And so sometimes these hauntings can be introduced just by, you know, an attachment of sorts. Now, I'm not necessarily speaking of a demonic or dark attachment. I'm just thinking in terms of an energetic attachment. Yeah. Like perhaps a person will go into a haunted location. That person may remind somebody or something of something from their life.
Right.
Whether it's an old family member from their time, if they were human, or just an energy about them that they feel compelled to latch onto to some way to stay in contact with. Because, you know, it's just, I imagine that haunting a place would be a very empty and lonely existence. Yeah. I really think so.
Boring.
Even if you're not the only thing there haunting,
right?
I still think it would just be a really desolate kind of environment. And so they may follow you home because you're better than where they came from.
Right, yeah. You're more interesting.
Yeah, there's something going on at your house, and there's nothing going on where they were, other than to see what falls from the walls next. You know, it's maybe they got betting pools and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
say, hey,
know,
watch this.
Hey, I bet you that paint chip's going to fall today. What do you think, Steve? I don't know.
You know, and we talk about things like that all the time, though, is like when you go to an antique store or you go to a thrift store or something.
We're
going
to get
like
to that, though.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get to that. So don't.
But then
don't.
Our buddy Dan, remember the story he told?
Refresh my memory.
Dan Pruitt.
Yeah.
He said that something may have followed him home one time, and basically he said he basically ignored it.
Yes.
And eventually it went away. Now, right. Lucky him.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, something followed him home from. It wasn't from Mackey's, was it?
I don't know. Maybe it was from Mackey's. I don't recall the where.
Right. But, you know, and, I mean, but he said it went on for like a week or two.
Yeah, 2 weeks is what he said. Now, and that's another thing that I was going to bring up is that a lot of times those kind of haunting are very short lived. Perhaps they'll get to your house and realize it wasn't as cool as they thought it would be. Or
no pizza here, pal.
Yeah, exactly. There's no paint to watch fall, you know, that kind of stuff. Right. But the other case may be that perhaps they just can't sustain their presence for an extended period of time in a different place. Right. There's something about that location
that provides them energy.
Right, that they're bound to in some manner, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So they just can't stay. I don't know. That's, again, it's a lot of philosophy, a lot of theory. There's no way anybody can know. And again, I don't believe in the whole idea of experts in the paranormal, but you know, if so basically any idea is just as valid as any other one.
Yeah.
But those kind of hauntings generally are very short lived, but not always. Perhaps they do really truly attach and are able to get all their needs met at your house, whether you want them to or not, and the haunting may escalate or it may stay benign or whatever. But that's certainly another way that these things can be introduced into a location, is just by following you home. And that's one of the reasons that I think it's really important, no matter what kind of spiritualism you're involved in, whether it's a ghost hunt, a ghost walk, a ghost tour, Ouija board sessions, seances, investigating, whatever. Whatever you're involved with, you have to close those sessions, because everything that you're doing when you're poking around in the spiritual world, trying to gain a communication or some kind of situation where you experience spirits, you are kind of intrinsically giving permission. So at the end of that activity, it's really important to somehow, through some ritual or another, and it'll depend on what your belief system is, to revoke that permission. Okay, now we're done. I'm going to go to my home, but you are not allowed to follow me. It can be through smudging. It can be through holy water. It can be through any number of things, through prayer, whatever.
Right.
Whatever resonates with you should close that session, and that's very powerful and should be executed every time. In fact, you should open the session the same way. I am now encouraging the contact, and then at the end, I am now ceasing the contact and revoking any permissions I granted in investigating.
Kind of like a Ouija board.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all about, you know, and we'll definitely do a show on the Ouija board, Don, because I think that one's really important to discuss as well. But you know, so when you're done with any kind of contact or any kind of spiritual contact seeking, you should close it and be real firm when you're you know, revoking that permission. Don't just be like, okay, guys, I had a great time, but I think I'm going to go home now. You know,
right.
You don't want to be ambivalent at all about it. You want to be really clear, because energy follows intention, ladies and gentlemen. That's a rule that I've known throughout all my life. It's been preached to me forever. Energy follows intention. So if you're adamant that this stops now, you're not following me home, and just, you know, put it out there like an energy wall and push that energy back, then, you know, by all intents and purposes, it should be pretty effective and will be 99.9% of the time. Now, nothing's 100%, unfortunately, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So that's another way they can come home. Now, as Don just alluded to, another way can be if you're a shopper, and especially if you're shopping for antiques, thrift selling, secondhand stores, whatever, yard sales, you may very well bring something home with you that has all kinds of extra attachments you didn't expect. You know, boy, that vacuum runs itself. But, you know, because spirits do attach to objects sometimes.
Right.
In order to do whatever it is they want to do. And usually, I can't speak to, you know, their motives necessarily, but I imagine it's to move from place to place. Now, sometimes those spiritual attachments are not intentional. It can just be something that was really sacred and special to somebody in their life.
Right.
And they pass, and then this item may go up for sale and somebody else buys it. Well, they're buying that attachment with it. So when you bring items home, you may want to be careful about what you do prior to bringing it into your home. There are certainly many ways to cleanse items, but I would just say if you bring items into your home regularly, bring it in slowly. I would encourage saging prior to bringing it in, or some other ritualistic practice. Again, the show is never going to be about teaching you any kind of observance. You got to use whatever resonates with you,
right.
Because that's what makes it powerful. So if, for instance, I'm a Christian, but all of you aren't, and I tell you to say this prayer and do this with holy water and create these sigils, crosses on your doors and stuff, then you're safe, and you're not observing that same religion. Everything I just mentioned to you is meaningless.
Right.
And it's because it's the person that gives these acts power. Just reciting words for the sake of reciting words, it has no power.
It's hollow.
It's hollow. It's empty. It's meaningless. So when you do something, it has to be in accordance to what your faith is.
Right.
So if you're a Wiccan, you would do something in the Wiccan tradition to, you know, cleanse something prior to bringing it in your house. If you're into shamanistic practices or more, First Nations kind of things, you would do something else. And if you're Christian, you would do something else. So it has to resonate with your faith, because it's your faith that gives these practices power. There may be some intrinsic power in certain items, but it's going to be magnified
by your belief,
yeah. Hundreds of fold, because you have faith in those very things. And you know that as you're speaking those words, as you're doing those actions, they are powerful because you are imbuing them with power as well. So definitely do that. But if you notice after you bring something home, things get weird, take it out of your house, leave it out in a garage or something, whatever, just get it out of your house. See if the activity stops, and then bring it in again. If it starts, okay, you know what the problem is. And if you are unable to cleanse things, there are certainly many people that will help you with that in that regard. And it could be a psychic. It could be a shaman. It could be
your local priest. Yeah.
It could be a priest. Right.
Yeah,
it could be, yeah, whatever you resonate with again. So that's something to be careful of and be aware of.
Well, there is another choice too.
Okay.
eBay.
Or just sell it. Yeah.
Just get rid of it.
There's somebody else's problem now. So that is true. There's one last way that I want to cover, and I don't mean for this list to be absolutely exhaustive and complete, but these are just some main things that we see come up over and over and over as we're doing the show. Now, the last methodology that can introduce a haunting is that we're going to talk about anyway is things like a Ouija board. Okay, so I'm just touching on that. Of course, we're going to do many podcasts about that subject in its entirety as much as we can. But anytime you invoke or call to spirits, whether it's through whatever practice, there is a responsibility you have in setting your environment first. So Parker Brothers or whoever sells this board game, That you can summon spirits yourself, and is recommended for ages 8 and up, ladies and gentlemen. So,
and they do come in pink.
Yeah, they do. They got like Barbie ones, I'm sure. I don't know what the hell, but I mean, it's just one of those things. I would never let an 8-year-old play with a Ouija board. I would never let a child play with a Ouija board. Now, I'm not of the belief that Ouija boards equal evil.
Right.
I'm really not. I don't think that that's true at all. I think it's just a tool. A hammer isn't evil. But if you put it through somebody's skull, it becomes evil. But it's by the act of doing that makes it a dangerous thing.
Right.
So a Ouija board just out of the box is no more dangerous than a Homer Simpson placemat for your kid's cereal. I mean, it isn't. It's just a printing on a piece of material. Now, I've had people say, well, we messed around with the Ouija board, but it's okay because it was just one we made. Now
it's the intent.
Yeah. So basically when you make something, you're already tuning it to your energy.
That's right. Yeah.
So you've created something that's way more powerful than anything just out of a box from a factory. So, whether it's even on the back of a pizza box or whatever and a Sharpie, you make a Ouija board and use like a shot glass for a planchette. That's going to be way more powerful than anything you're going to buy from a store. Not that the store-bought ones can't become powerful.
But it's because you invested time into it, energy.
Every practice of occult means, and I'm not saying that occult is negative or evil. Again, that's just whatever. If you're into that, that's cool. There's plenty of you know, positive,
right,
good people that practice, you know, different religions. And so I don't mean to cast aspersions at any following or faith, but what I'm saying is that for those practices, you make your own tools. You make your own wand. You make your own staff. You make your own altar. You make your own symbols and sigils because you are tuning them with your energy. You don't go to the occult store and buy, you know, there's no Ollivander's wand shop to go pick up a wand, you know, and wait for the spotlight to hit you, and then you know you got the right wand. It's like when you create these things, you are tuning them to an energy, and so they are much more potent. And the same is true for a Ouija board. Mm-hmm. When you create an item, it's already tuned, it's already aligned to your intent and your energy, so it's going to be very potent. So again, as I discussed before, with things like Ouija boards, moving the planchette over goodbye doesn't mean you're done.
Right.
Now, it's been my saying for years now, but you should never open a portal you can't close. And moving a pointer over goodbye is not closing that session properly. There's many other things that should be done. I'm not going to bother trying to educate you on the proper use of Ouija boards, because that's never going to be what the show is about. But I will tell you that there's plenty of information out there if you want to learn how to use one and how to properly use one and how to properly finish using one. You can find it. Just be careful is all I'm going to say.
Definitely.
Now, the biggest problem I have with most Ouija board sessions is, first, people don't know what they're doing. Second, you're already in a state of surrender when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You're in a state of surrender because you're holding on to this little pointer, whether it's a store-bought one or whatever. And by virtue of doing that, you are giving express permission for spirits to come through you and interact with this material. So you are a blind channel at that point. You are blindly channeling something. You don't know what it is. Your intent may be to contact Uncle Joe, but you might get Uncle Beelzebub instead or something. You know, you might end up with something really wrong coming through because you're not focusing that. You don't know how to focus it. And whatever comes through can tell you anything it wants. And if you just go to goodbye and put it back in the box, guess what? You've now created somewhat of a spiritual portal,
right,
where things can come and go and maybe bring more things in. So just be careful. I'm not trying to create fear around anything, but it's all about, you know, knowledge and learning. And I hope that I'm representing the information in a cohesive manner so you guys understand what I'm trying to get at. But before we go any further, Don, we should probably take a break, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we're getting there.
All right, guys. So we're going to get right to a quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away for more of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We're back. Thanks for waiting for us. It feels like just a fraction of a second, doesn't it, Don?
Wow, it's weird how that happens.
Those things fly by, I'm telling you. So, Don, we've covered a few items. What are your thoughts on these?
Well, you know my thoughts on Ouija boards to begin with. I think Ouija boards, I don't think anybody should be playing with those because, as you said, they are a blind channel. your intent may be, you know, altruistic or positive, but like you said, there's no telling what's going to come through. You know, you don't know if Beelzebub's just going to come rocking through and say, "Hey, come here."
Yeah.
I really don't like Ouija boards in general.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and as for buying things, you know, I piped in about that. You know, be careful. You know, I buy things at antique stores and thrift stores all the time. I mean, I just do. That's what I do. But, you know, once again, you know, you if anything happens. I'm the guy that takes it in and waits for something to happen. Thank God. Knock on wood. Nothing that I've ever... Yeah, exactly. No, it's a blind gel. Don't ever tell, especially black-eyed kids. You know, so, but, you know, I've never had that kind of thing happen that I'm aware of, you know. You know, and so there's a lot of things that you can unthinkingly do to attract those spiral spirits. You know, there's just all kinds of things. And you just be aware of what you're doing, you know. I mean, even certain words, you know, like you said, the magnetism, mm-hmm. you know, just speaking it into fruition or speaking it into manifestation, you know, it could very well happen. Energy attracts energy. That's all there is to it. So, you know, that's what I have to say about it. Be careful.
Be careful.
Be careful.
Good, good advice. We do encourage care and being careful, full of care, you know, because it's not any of these things, of course. I think the most risky of is the Ouija board.
Sure.
What
about angel boards? What about angel boards? Come on.
All right. So putting a fairy or an angel on it doesn't change anything.
It's still the same channel.
It's still the same process. It's still the same modality.
So I can't summons Michael?
You can try. I don't know if he's busy or not. But I don't know what he does for fun, but
probably doesn't hang out with us. Well, he's got other things to tend to.
It might just be. But
my guardian angel standing behind me with her hand over her face, going, "Oh my God!"
No, she's your guardian angel's all ragged, going, "Oh man, when does this end?" Yours is working overtime. But I think if you put a pretty picture on it, doesn't make it better. Doesn't change a thing. It's just a different design. Like I said, it's not the design that creates the issue. It's mm-hmm. the usage. It's the you know, whatever follows that creates issues. So it can look all cute with my pretty pony on it, and it still could, right. you know, bring summon night. A demon. So so I just encourage
a whole steed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Some kind of dark steed comes into your room with fiery nostrils.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, you know, I just be careful. I think that's great advice. And again, this isn't about generating fear. It's not about generating, you know, fanaticism or fantastical thoughts or ideas. But I just think whenever you're dealing with the paranormal, you've really got to be careful because there are no experts. And what right. that means is that nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure. I mean, there's all kinds of ideas. Of course, religions have their beliefs about what's going on, you know, on the other side of this veil. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just don't know.
Postulations.
Right.
Philosophy. And,
right. Yeah. And lots of wonderful lessons and ideas. But we really just don't know. So be careful, first and foremost, and try to take care. Now, Don.
Yes.
Okay. So you got a ghost.
Okay.
Who are you going to call?
Dan Pruitt.
Dan Pruitt. Dan Pruitt, ladies and gentlemen, is a paranormal investigator friend of ours, yeah. And Deb or Diane or Sean, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
They are some psychics that are involved with the show as well. Wonderful people. And if you have any kind of really terrible experience and need some help, definitely let us know.
That's who you need to call.
You can email us, as a matter of fact. And we will get you in touch with somebody if you're dealing with something that's really horrible. Now, the thing with any kind of ghostly experience, it's incredibly isolating because most people, you may have some support through friendships and stuff like that and people you can talk to about it, but I don't think there's a whole lot of helpers out there, right. you know. I think there's some, and of course, we're really really fortunate to have some great people that have extended themselves and said, look, if anybody ever gets a hold of you and needs help, let us know. And so we do. We've been reached out to many times to help people deal with everything from demons to portals to right. to hauntings to, you know, all kinds of dark things. And they've been wonderful, and I've heard lots of amazing feedback from the people they've helped. So if you have an issue of your very own, and you're not sure how to help or deal with it, and it's free, ladies and gentlemen. We don't call. Just got a phone call at the same time.
to get contact us, we'll talk with you for free, absolutely. Yeah. And we'll look for whoever may be able to help in your situation. So
right, right. Talk for a minute, Don. I got to send a quick message.
Because you know we've got our friends from YouTube and other venues we've been on and people we've been around and things like that. So and our friend Deb and Dee and Joel and Sean are great when it comes to that kind of mystical, spiritual, psychic thing. They've helped quite a few people that have, called out to us. And then, of course, we've got investigators. We've got Mr. MCAT. We've got Dan Pruitt. We've got a few of those as well. Mm-hmm. Haven't had to call on them, so that's nice. But, the house hauntings and things like that are, in my opinion, lesser in a sense, and this is just my opinion, I'd be more worried about the psychic kind of stuff, the stuff that affects you, mm-hmm. and is it's affecting you, those kinds of things,
right?
Possessions, things like that. Now, whether that happens or not, I still have doubts and things like that. But who am I to say? But those are the kinds of things that would really worry me.
Yeah, they would. It's a incredibly isolating thing to have anything go sideways like that.
Right.
And quite frankly, again, most people don't know where to turn. Well, who are you going to call? You can email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com.
Right.
And we'll be happy to put you in touch with some of those people.
Absolutely.
And I always like to put that out there because I just think I take a lot of pride in the fact that not only are we a show, but we also have resources to help people.
Well, we've built the community around us.
Yeah, we really have.
Well, we've started the community. The door was wide open and here they came.
they all just rushed through. It's really cool. But again, it costs you guys nothing. If you need the help, we're happy to help you. So, and if you just need some advice, please email. If you've got something going on and need some advice, we'll certainly walk you through the preliminary steps of how to maybe get rid of it. But a lot of times, in a lot of cases, Don, all it takes is just, having a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes in haunting situations, things start happening because I think in many cases, the spirit just wants to be acknowledged. Many houses have some form of spirit. Many there's Slavic beliefs in a being called the Domovoy, mm-hmm. which is basically a house spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a little being that's a spiritual being that is present in their houses, and this is their belief, and it basically takes care of the house in many ways. Now, I don't know that it vacuums or anything cool like that, but they're protective of the house. And,
right.
That's pretty cool and very powerful. So in a lot of cases, not necessarily that's what you're going to experience, but I'm just saying that the belief in there being spirits that are present is, pretty much global.
Right.
So if you get in a situation, that you may have some type of haunting, the first thing you can do is just say, look, have a discussion, claim your space.
Define,
is what,
yeah.
We like to define it as claiming your space, let it be known. This is your house now. However, if you're okay with sharing it, then just say, look, if you're of good and light and benevolent and kind and loving, you're welcome to stay. But this is the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And, give the rules, like, don't scare my kids. Don't, don't spook the dog. Don't scare me. I don't want to, run into an apparition in my hallway, that kind of stuff. Let them know what you're okay with, what you're not okay with. Now, if you're not okay with it, just, this is my house now. You have to leave. You're no longer welcome here. This is not your space anymore. You don't belong here anymore. You should be crossing over. In the cases of most human entities, that would be the case for sure. I don't know about a lot of these other things that were non-human entities.
Yeah, no doubt.
If they're supposed to cross over, if this is really where they live, I don't know. I really believe that we are swimming in a reality of these beings. I think that they're always around. We just are not able to perceive them,
mm-hmm.
So, but I think if you just claim your space and say, look, I'm here now. This is not your space. If you want to stay, this is the rules. If you're not okay with that, you need to leave. And then, of course, if it continues to escalate and get ugly, then you've got to you have to escalate as well. You have to take steps and measures to get that out.
Right.
So, just some you know, great preliminary rules of thumb or tips or whatever to try to help you deal with that. I think the people that do deal with hauntings, I think it's way more common than most people believe. I think that a lot of houses have these kind of things, you know. Now, I owned an old Victorian house, ladies and gentlemen, and it was built in 1894. It was a wonderful home. I loved it. But as all things go in life, it was a house that really required a lot of TLC and a lot of maintenance, none of which I was equipped for. Well, the TLC part I had. But, you know, it just required somebody that really was actively working on the house all the time, because the older a house is, the more maintenance generally they need to stay nice.
Right.
But now I had activity in this house, but the activity was never year round that I was able to figure out. It seemed there were certain times of the year that it was more active than others. And I don't know. I don't know what that situation is or why that is, but I found that pretty peculiar, that I could go for months and months and months and never see or hear or experience anything. And then there would be this time of year when things would just seem to ramp up and boom, I was dealing with things more regularly. Now, right. that I think might happen. And what is it about those times of year? I don't know. Maybe that's the time when something happened that they become more active.
Right.
Now, yeah. If you do have a presence in your house, like say an old owner died in the house and he loved the house, or not necessarily even died in the house, died at the hospital, but that was their home. They loved their home. They were, you know, that was their place of peace and harmony. Well, they may choose to come back. And why do they linger? Well, maybe they linger because they may believe that if they pass on, they might face a judgment, and maybe they didn't feel they led the most virtuous life and are worried about a hellfire eternity,
right?
You know, or something to that effect. So, I mean, this is what they know. This is comfortable. This is familiar.
Right.
I can handle sitting here for the rest of eternity rather than, you know, baking like a potato, you know, jumping on the grill. So, you know, who can blame them when you've got that kind of ideology and that kind of
dogma.
And, you know, and I don't mean to disparage anybody whose beliefs are that there is a judgment and, you know, you potentially do face that. I mean, if that's where you're at, that's cool. That's fine. I don't pretend to know for sure. I just have my own beliefs and they're my beliefs. But so if they do stick around, they might be dormant most of the time. They might not be active at all. They might just be there keeping an eye on things, but for the most part, they don't want to interact. However, once you start painting and wallpapering and taking out walls, once you start changing the house, then you're going to figure out if something's there or not, because nothing ramps up activity like more
space
than changing the space. Exactly. So if you tear out old cracked plaster and you know you're going to re-sheetrock the walls, man, if things leap off, then you'll know, because that's about the time they get pissed, and they may not like your new drapes. They may not like that you tore down that farmyard wallpaper,
because
they love that. You know, they might not like that you took down the 70s Art Deco stuff. You know, that was cool for them.
The kitschy sunken front room.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they may take issue with that. And so, you know, that's when you'll find out. So if you want to know if you got spirits in your house, start really changing stuff and see what happens, because that really does seem to piss them off. And, you know, whatever reason, but that's when you have that dialogue. You just say, this is my house now.
Right.
You're welcome to stay if you're good, kind, and loving, but here's the rules, you know. So I think that just addressing it 90% of the time is all you need to do. There's been stories we've covered, and I don't know if you remember this or not, Don, but it was an apartment that this person had. And they got into the apartment. Things were fine for the first few weeks, and then suddenly things just started going to hell. You know, things were getting really active. And so the person didn't know what to do, but just sat down at their kitchen table and said, look, I know you're here. I don't know what you want. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what to do. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to call you George, and I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to have a relationship with you, and I'm going to share my day with you when I come home every day. And so they did. And as soon as they started doing that, all the activity leveled out and went back to nothing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They just acknowledged that George was in the house. Hey, George, I'm going to the store. Be back.
You need anything? Yeah. How about a body?
A pulse? No, but you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So by acknowledging that spirit was enough to make it peaceful. And I imagine if you're a spirit, Don, could you imagine just sitting there going, hey, hey.
Look at me. Hey, dang it.
Why is everybody ignoring me? You know, because sometimes people don't know they passed.
Right.
They don't know what the hell's going on, but suddenly everybody's ignoring them, and it really, right. You know, it's confusing.
Right.
Now, here's something I do wonder about, Don. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we know if a person, okay, Tom Hanks gets stuck on an island, right?
Right.
A few months go by, and he's best friends with a volleyball.
Right.
You know, Wilson. Wilson is his buddy now. So obviously he's going through some kind of psychosis, just being isolated on this island all by himself.
Right.
So if you're a spirit, don't you suppose the same thing could happen?
I could have.
Yeah, that people would just start breaking and just wacky things would start happening because their grasp on, you know, quote unquote sanity would be, you know, very tentative at best, you know. And I think about that. So like, you know, in these hauntings that have gone on for hundreds of years and they seem to be getting worse, it's probably because these spirits are just, you know, mentally cracking. They're in the same situation every day for centuries.
Right.
And nothing, you know, nobody's talking. They're all alone in some cases. They may or may not be aware of the other spirits around. I don't know. I've heard stories that they're not. I've heard stories that they are. I don't know. But they're just stuck in this kind of limbo.
Right, right.
And could they go insane? What do you think?
You know, anything's possible, and you know, we hear stories and of really demented, strange, not mentally stable things going on. You know, people being driven nuts by, you know, possible hauntings or things like that. And so, you know, I mean, I know when I get bored, I get antsy and need to go do something, you know? And so I can't imagine that, you know, it could be much different for them,
right.
You know? So, you know, maybe, you know, yeah, maybe they can go insane or, you know, trip the light fandango, yeah. You know? Yep. You know, so, I could understand that.
Makes sense, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are some thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, Don and I discussing the amazing hauntings. Now, I think that the ones that really disturb us are the most are of course the dark, the demonic, the really evil ones. Now in cases like these, first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, I think terms like demon get incredibly overused.
Right.
They get incredibly overused by investigators. And I have a theory behind that, and I don't know if I'm right or not. But here's my thinking on that. So anything happens in a house that has any kind of negativity to it, well, you got yourself a demon.
Yeah.
Now, here's why I think a lot of investigators jump to that. And quite frankly, I think that most investigators are not professionals. They are just hobbyists.
Right.
But what sounds cooler on your resume?
Yeah.
I dealt with this really rambunctious spirit, or I dealt with demons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a lot of it, that a lot of these investigators like to drop demon into the category because it sounds like, you know, you're so amazingly established in your field that you're taking on demons.
Right.
Now, I think that demonic hauntings and demonic experiences are honestly incredibly rare. I don't think there's infinite number of demons running around. I think that I do believe they're there. I do believe they're out there, and I do believe that they're incredibly dark and nasty and horrible beings that just seem to be full of hate.
Right.
Why? I don't know. Whether it's the whole biblical lore or other lore, I don't know. But they're just angry, and they hate people so completely.
Right.
And they hate anything good and just and nice, and they're these twisted messes. And I don't know. You know, I don't pretend to know what's going on there, but I'll tell you, demonic hauntings are, well, it's a good thing they're rare because they are incredibly powerful spirits. they seem to have no trouble, you know, throwing people around, flipping things around,
right.
Tormenting the hell out of people. Now, what I will say is that, yeah, I think in most cases you don't know that you're dealing with a demon until it's really well established.
Right.
In other words, they're incredibly intelligent. That demons don't come out and say, "I am a demon." You know, right. They don't want you to know. They are after something, and usually it's they are after some part of your life force. They are after you know, a person, and they don't want to tip this person off. So demonic hauntings begin as incredibly subtle things. They don't start out really over the top. They start out with, you know, bad moods.
Right.
If you notice that you're suddenly dealing with a whole lot of negative, you know, darkness, like you feel like you get a cloud over your head all the time, that you feel like you just can't find happy anymore, then you could very well be dealing with a demonic attachment.
Sure.
Because, you know, and this mirrors itself in psychology too. So a demonic attack is not a whole lot different in many cases to an abusive relationship.
Right.
So, you know, in abusive relationships, the primary thing that the abuser wants is to isolate the individual. They want to come between them and their friends. They want to come between them and their family. They want to come between anything that is going to prove to be supportive to this person, because they want them isolated.
Right.
Because an isolated person cannot defend themselves as well as somebody that has, you know, a support group and people standing behind them and helping them. And the same is true for demonic attacks. They want to cloud and confuse you and fill you with suspicion, and you know, you have this real lack of energy. You don't feel like going to meet your friends for lunch. You don't feel like going out to the mall because it makes you feel good. You don't want to do that. You just isolate, and that I'm pretty sure is the oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Now from there it just gets, you know, it goes downhill. So once they have you isolated, then the seduction begins in the form of them wedging themselves deeper and deeper into your energy,
right.
Until, you know, eventually, if left unchecked, there's a thing called perfect possession. And what perfect possession is when a demonic entity has become so ingrained within the person that they've been attacking that there's no longer a difference between the person and the demon. They're just kind of fused into this one being. And those are nearly impossible to get rid of. They are the kind of possessions that may just be the end. Of course, not that it can't happen, that they can be, you know, saved or
right.
You know,
it's a long, hard fight, though.
It's a hell of a. I mean, it's a battle of attrition, really. I mean, it's just horrible. And so, you know, in most cases, demonic situations, you're not going to know until it's probably really late in the game, and it's going to be hard to win anyway. But if it gets to the form of perfect possession, there may not be a win, you know, possible.
Right.
You know, I believe, of course, in goodness, and I believe that anything is possible, but you know what I mean.
Right. Well, you know, but that brings up the idea of, oh, I'm forgetting the names, but the movie Veronica, the possession of Emily Rose, mm-hmm. You know, I forget the names of the people that are, but anyhow, that's the whole thing, is they were so fused together that when it was finally over, the body just gave up.
Yeah.
You know, it was done.
Yeah.
You know, there was no person to stay connected to that earthly body anymore. It was just gone.
Yeah, the demon's control was absolute,
right.
in that person. Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, not to say that if you're ever in a bad mood, you're under demonic oppression.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm trying to get at. But I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, in the most cases, people won't know that they're dealing with something like that until it's really late. So when you hear these, you know, different people throwing around the word demon, well, you know, if it was that easy to tell you're dealing with a demon,
right?
Then, you know, demons probably wouldn't be that much of a problem, but they are. No, I do believe they're out there, and I believe there are, you know, whatever you want to call them. Of course, demon is just a term of convenience. I don't know that necessarily defines what these things are, but whatever they are, they're incredibly energetic. They're incredibly hateful. They're just dark, evil things that just want to hurt us. So now I think most people are dealing with negative spirits, Now, a negative spirit could just be, and we had a guest on the show, and we'll definitely get him back for the podcast, but he talked about, you know, you want to know what the difference between a person alive and a person after they're dead? He said the only difference is that the dead ones don't have the body anymore. The same person. So if you're a jerk in life, you're not going to suddenly be transformed into a butterfly.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt.
Just because you passed on. You're going to be a jerk afterwards until you work through those issues. You know, those things don't just magically erase and it's like, okay, well, good. I'm not a jerk anymore. Everybody's going to love me. Well, no, you're going to be a jerk still.
Right.
If you're a dark person in life, you're going to be a dark person in afterlife. And, you know, and I thought that was really interesting because, of course, it's kind of the mentality of you're in a bad relationship, but you decide to get engaged because the ring's going to make it all better.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you know, things are hell right now, but once she's got the ring, she's going to be happy. It's like, well, you know, this ain't the Lord of the Rings there, Frodo.
Just toss it into the lava. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
It's like throwing yourself into the lava.
Yeah, I know. That might be the only answer. But, yeah, I mean, it's just that same mentality. So whatever you are in life is probably what you're going to be dealing with, yeah. You know, in death. Or the person that was in life is going to be a problem, the same problem in death. Except that now they're a spirit, and right. they don't have to get a ride anywhere.
You can't kill them as easily. Yeah, wow. Kill them with kindness.
Kill them with love. No, but just some spirit 411 for you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the journey. And of course, the Paranormal Portal podcast will be back every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll have downloads for you. So I hope you guys will check it out and let people know about the show. We are excited to be undertaking this amazing journey. And I don't know. What do you think, Don?
I think I'm just happy to be here and being able to, you know, spread my cheer. So to speak.
We got cheer, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can.
Have a good night.
All right. Good night, guys.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.